I gave Vic some homework to go and plan some podcasts that I know nothing about, okay? And we've been planning this, and that's what this is. So I know nothing about today's guests or what we're going to be talking about. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Vix, and you're going to introduce the guest. I mean,
thank you. Hi, and welcome today. We've got Mike from the U3A. Thank you for joining us today, Mike. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me along. And after that build-up, I just hope I don't disappoint.
You won't at all. You won't at all, honestly. I think you look very relaxed in that chair there in the headphone suit, so you're all right. Okay, so I'm just going to introduce a little bit what it says about the U3A on the website. And then I want to sort of go through what your role is in the U3A and what the U3A has to offer, because I think there's a lot of listeners out there who might already know about the U3A, might be members of the U3A. But I think there's also a lot of people in Shrewsbury who may have never heard about it before, because when I came across it, I was so surprised. I was like, wow, this thing is awesome. And I spoke to a few friends, and I spoke to my mom, spoke to other people, and they were like, I haven't actually heard of the U3A, and no idea, never heard of it before. So I was like, oh, right, we need to get this out there. Anyway, okay, so I went on the website, and if you guys listening would like to take a look, it is the U3A, and that is U, the letter U, the number 3, and the letter A, .org.uk is the website to take a look on. And that can lead you to U3As in Find Out Ones in your area, because we do have one in Shrewsbury. So on the website it says, the U3A is a UK-wide movement of locally run interest groups that provide a wide range of opportunities to come together to learn for fun. Members explore new ideas, skills and activities together. U3A has members who draw upon their knowledge and experience to teach and learn from each other. But there are no qualifications to pass. It is just for pleasure, which I love. Learning is its own reward. It is all voluntary, and a typical U3A will be home to many activity groups, hundreds, in fact, of different subjects, from art to zoology and everything in between. How fantastic and magical is that? So if you'd like to introduce yourself properly, Mike, as what your role is in the U3A.
So I am currently the chairman of Shrewsbury U3A. We have a constitution which says that chairman can serve for a maximum of 2 years, but with a possible extension. And in fact, I am going to have an extension.
Oh, fantastic.
Of another year.
More of Mike. We like that.
Shows how good you are, Mike. You're in need.
I joined the committee, I suppose, about 6 or 7 years ago, so I've done different jobs on the committee. Mm. It's interesting what you say about people not knowing about U3A. I've just got a new lady who's joined our committee as our marketing officer, and what I've said to her is her mission is to try to get as many as possible of the people in our catchment area who are eligible to join to know that U3A exists in Shrewsbury, and to be able to write on the back of a postage stamp what U3A potentially can offer them in big terms.
That's a bit of a mission, considering all what there is to offer. Is that possible to fit it on a postage stamp?
Well, I say what it offers in very broad terms.
Yes, yeah.
To learn is to grow. There you go.
Love it. He's the king of slogans.
We do t-shirt. Where's the ding? Where's the bell?
Get your bell on.
It's quiet. There we go. If we get another t-shirt, we do a ding. Okay. Yeah. I'm really excited by this, because I feel like there's I wouldn't say a misconception, but like when you grow up, you feel like learning is for younger people. You know, you do school, you college, you university, then you go out into the big bad world and you work, right? And it's nice to know that there are places where when you finish work or while you're working, there are places where you can just go and learn.
That's absolutely right, and maybe in the past, there was a point at which you could say, well, I've stopped learning now. But that's not the case in the second decade of the 21st century. No, sorry, third decade of the 21st century. We have to keep learning all the time. One of my challenges is to get some of my members who aren't very good at using online type stuff,
yes,
getting them to use it, because we run our U3A online. As I say to people, everything that we hold in terms of how we operate, our data, etc., is access through our website. I don't have an office full of filing cabinets with hard copy of anything. It's all on there. So if they can't interact with it, I'm not saying it's impossible for us to manage that, but it makes life really increasingly difficult.
Mm. I remember interviewing Jamie Edwards from Shrewsbury Town Foundation, Shrewsbury Town in the community it was back then. And during the pandemic, they were sending out tablets to the older generation to keep them in touch with people so they could Zoom or Skype people. They can do activities, but obviously, like, there's that barrier of the older generation and technology, which is understandable. In my job, I learned to use new machines and new software all the time. It's not easy, it really isn't. So to breach that barrier is actually, I think, incredible if you can get that done.
I'm sure you've got a course on your list somewhere that is to do with tech. And
well, we haven't. We don't do courses. That's a misconception that a lot of.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, it's the wrong word to use.
No. I'm glad you mentioned it, because we do get people coming along to see us who are thinking of joining, and they ask about courses.
Yeah.
And
I think it's because the name university. Because when I just sort of briefly mentioned to my friend University of the Third Age, and they were like, oh, I don't know if I can do any more studying. I've done enough.
Well, you're absolutely right. Now, it's probably worth me just giving you a little bit of the history. So, University of the Third Age was started in France. I think it was in Toulouse, actually, and that was in 1973. Now, the French, being a very academic nation, really did focus on the fact it was University of the Third Age, and they set up their U3As around the country, as far as I know, affiliated to universities. Uh-huh. And they drew on university resources, both in terms of infrastructure and in terms of teaching capability, in order to deliver them learning courses, if you like. Mm. But the UK has gone well away from that. So it came to the UK in 1982.
That's the year I was born. That's the best year. That's why it happened, you see. Sorry.
The year I got married. Oh.
It's a good year.
A very good year. So in the UK, it has changed significantly. So we do academic learning, but it's all self-taught. We don't at the moment, although it could change, but we don't draw on external resources to deliver learning and indeed courses of learning. We do it all ourselves.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's wonderful.
And how do you come up with a list of topics or, you know, curriculums that, you know, things that people can, you know, get attached to?
Okay, so we have about 120 different groups that come together, and that really starts with people saying, I'm interested in a certain subject. Can we find like-minded people? So when I joined U3A back at the back end of 2016, I pitched up to Theatre 7, where we have our monthly talks, and said, I'd like to join U3A and I'd like to study astronomy. The reason being my daughter, youngest daughter, had just bought me a telescope. Oh, so I thought fabulous. It might be a good idea to learn how to
use it. You're looking through it and you're like, what's that? What is that? And it's the Big Dipper ball.
Exactly.
I've got an app on my phone that does like Skyscape thing, and it sort of like looks at the stars and helps you with the constellations.
That's really good. Yeah. Yes, I've got one of those. So, and they said, well, we haven't got an astronomy group, but we will communicate with our members and see who else is interested. Well, lo and behold, they came back to me 3 or 4 weeks later and said, actually, yeah, there's about 8 other people who are interested.
Brilliant.
So we then went into a process where a group is set up. I said, well, I suppose I'd better be the group coordinator then, hadn't I? Yeah. So I took the role of group coordinator. So we sat down as a group and we decided what we were going to study, and we decided the order would do it, and we decided who would take responsibility for each part. So every time we met, which was a monthly basis, we had a program, a forward program of who was going to do the work to pull together generally a PowerPoint presentation, because that's generally what works best, and take us through the particular subject that we were going to study on that occasion.
Oh, brilliant. That's absolutely fabulous.
So it's a bit like a book club, but for do you know what I mean? That's the concept. It's like you guys come together. What we're going to learn today, and you go through it together. And I like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now, not every group is a learning group. So we've got our groups bunched up into different categories. So We've got an academic group, of which astronomy would be one. We've got a cultural group, looking at things like classical music appreciation, etc. Then we've got a hobbies group. So they are actually getting together and pursuing their hobbies together. So obviously they are learning as they go along, but it's not formalised learning, it's doing the hobby. So for example, cooking, digital photography, model making, and so on and so forth. Then we've got an indoor games group. So they play games that they like to do, backgammon, bridge, and so on and so forth. And people can join those groups and learn how to play the games.
I'd love to learn how to play those. I haven't got a clue.
Well, exactly. Then we've got languages, outdoor activities and sports, performing arts, and social and well-being. And social and well-being is a long way away from learning, but it's, you know, if you were to ask me to summarise, what do we deliver? Mm. We deliver well-being outcomes.
Wonderful.
for our members, both in terms of improved physical wellness, but also mental health as well, I think.
It's absolutely fantastic.
So we improve their well-being. Mm.
Really important. I've just been discharged and signed off on my therapy, which I talk about openly. Very happy about that. But it's well-being and learning to breathe during the most stressful situations. And it's a tirade of abuse on social media now. No matter what you go on, I'm learning that. It's learning how to live in that arena. Mm. You know, you talk about mental health and well-being. The world is changing around us. And there's more visceral nastiness out there, you know, so you need to be able to sort of navigate through that, as well as cooking dinner every week and making sure the car's up to and going to work and doing all these things, looking after the kids. So these skills are really important, I think. So well done.
Well, thank you. And of course, as we hopefully live longer, I think, you know, just when people are in their third age, however you care to define that, but we'd say probably a bit, you know, 55 or over, but we can have people younger than that. Mm. I think supporting people's mental and physical health is really important. And frankly, we'd like to do more of that. Mm. I've been trying to find a path into local health services. Mm. That's actually proving pretty difficult, partly because it's very fragmented. You'd think we'd have an integrated health system in this country, but we clearly don't. But we could, you know, provide some level of assistance there by giving people an outlet for dealing with, not dealing with their issues, because we don't do that, but giving them things that will be generally beneficial to them.
I think there's a lot of transitions at sort of this sort of stage of life, and there's so many things of changes happening. So people could be retiring, they could be their health could be changing, they could be that they can't do what they used to do, they become more isolated, or that they feel that what's their purpose anymore? Perhaps their children have all grown up and left home, and now it's like, well, what do I do with myself and my life?
And you hear all the time as well, don't you? Like with people that retire, don't want to retire because that's it. Then next thing is me coughing. You know what I mean? You got to keep moving. You got to find ways to keep going, and that's really important. Yeah.
I agree with that. I was looking forward to retirement. I met a former colleague on the Euston Station on a Friday evening. I was coming back from something in London, and he was about to retire. And he was a pretty senior guy in the company I was in. And he said, oh, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm dreading it. And I said, oh, well, you shouldn't do that. Make yourself a plan. Decide what you're going to do. Mm. And you know, my plan was in week one, go to U3A, which I'd heard about from my late mother-in-law, bizarrely. Go to U3A and join that. And do things like that. Make a plan and really, really embrace the fact that you are now being given new opportunities that you didn't have before.
Indulge in that time that you've got, that newfound time, because time is like the essence of preciousness, isn't it, of life? You know, we all want more time. And I think at that, you know, you have time to sort of indulge in and embrace your passions and find that spark again, in a sense. And I think, like you say before, it would be fantastic to see it in social prescribing and see it in doctor surgeries or any, like, you know, community centres sort of advertising about it a little bit more. But I was just looking at some of the statistics this morning, and it says, loneliness is affecting 3.1 million people in the UK. That is huge and a major, major issue among all ages. Health conditions hindering people, making them unable to work. 4 million people out of work due to health conditions in the UK.